أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته You find that a part of the human condition is that we all strive for comfort and ease in life. And we work hard for that comfort and ease, waiting for those moments of comfort. And even when we start the week, we console ourselves by saying, it's 5 more days before the weekend. When we start the term, we console ourselves saying that I have 4 months of hard work and effort, and then I'll have the winter break. And then after that will be the spring break, and then the summer break. So we're always waiting for those moments of comfort. And even as you work hard in your life, and you go into your 20s and 30s and 40s, you say to yourself, perhaps I'll be able to retire early, and then I'll have those moments of comfort and peace in life. And our expectation is that life is made for comfort. Life is made for ease. And sometimes when we struggle to find that comfort and we struggle to find that ease because it just seems to elude us or doesn't come as fast as it should come to us, we become very frustrated. We become very disappointed. So one day the fourth imam says to some of his companions, Allahumma salli ala. He says, تَطْلُبُونَ الْمُسْتَحِيلِ You're seeking for something that is impossible in life. Some things are improbable, but they could happen. For example, it is improbable that the sun will rise from the west, but it could happen and may happen in the future. Some things are impossible. They will never happen. Not in this dunya, not in the akhirah. Right? 1 + 1 = 3 is never going to happen in this world. It's not going to happen in Jannah either because it's a logical impossibility. The Imam says, تَطْلُبُونَ الْمُسْتَحِيلِ You are seeking something which is impossible. So one of the companions asked him, وَكَيْفَ نَطْلُبُ الْمُسْتَحِيلِ How do we seek for something? What is it that we do in our lives that makes you say that we're seeking something impossible? And the Imam says to him, تَطْلُبُونَ الرَّاحَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا خُلِقَتِ الدُّنْيَا لِلرَّاحَ You're seeking rahat, comfort and ease in this world. And this world has not been created for comfort and ease. There will be moments of comfort. There will be moments of ease. But the Imam is telling us, for a Muslim, life is struggle. Life is effort. Life will have hardship, and life is going to have trials and tribulations. Okay? And therefore, the Ahlul Bayt would tell us that you should not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you away from trials and tribulations because that is not possible. Instead, when you pray to God that when you are undergoing a test in life, you are undergoing a trial in life, that He also guides you and keeps you on the right path. There's a hadith that you will find, I believe, in Nahj al-Balagha, where one day the first imam heard somebody making a dua and the person was saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-fitna, or min al-fitan. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the trials and tribulations of life. So the imam called him and said, so and so, come here. And he said to him at that time, it seems to me that you're praying to God that he should not test you when it comes to your children and your wealth. That you don't want to face hardship when it comes to your children and your wealth. Then the Imam says to him, however, God has said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. I know that the word fitna in some of our cultures and languages has a very negative connotation. In the Quran, a fitna is simply a test, a trial. Okay? Your children and your wealth are going to be a source of test for you in life. Then he says to that person, instead your dua should be, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika mimma dallatil fitan. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from going astray and those things that will take me astray when I'm faced with a test or a trial in life. Okay. Now when we come across a moment of difficulty in life and a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are three ways in which we can respond to it. The first way of responding to it is to respond to a difficulty with jaza'. Jaza' means to complain, to protest, to fuss about it. Why is it that I have to undergo this hardship in life? Why does it have to happen at this time? Why isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering my dua? What is the purpose of making a dua if this is what I have to go through in life? And Allah says in the Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. A human being has been created in weakness. He has been created needy. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. Whenever a little bit of hardship or suffering afflicts him, immediately he does what? جَزَع. He complains a lot. He protests a lot. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when we give him a little bit of goodness, instead of sharing it with others, he starts to hoard it. He wants to keep it to himself. Then the Quran says, but there is only one exception to this human condition. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who say their salat, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And they are consistent in offering their prayers. So the first way to respond to hardship is by doing jaza', to complain and to protest as to why do I have to face this hardship in life. The second way of responding to hardship is with sabr, with patience, right? Where you don't protest and you don't complain and you perform your wajibat and you stay away from those things which are haram. You must have come across elders of our community. And mashallah, they're very patient, especially as they grow older sometimes. You know, they go through sicknesses, one test after another test. Sometimes they are at the hospital again and again. Their mobility is restricted. They don't enjoy the same things that we're able to enjoy in life. And you come across an elder and you ask them, Baba, how are you doing? And the first thing that you hear from them is, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for giving me life. I thank Allah for giving me this day. And you don't hear a lot of complaint and jaza' from them. People who are patient have a very high status in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran sends salawat on two groups of people. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He sends salawat on two groups of people. The first group, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. The Prophet of Allah and the family of the Prophet of Allah. The second group of people. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We are definitely going to give you a bala. A bala in the Quran means a test. We are definitely going to test you, right? With something from hunger and something from fear, and a loss of your wealth, and a loss of yourselves, and a loss of your fruits, meaning your produce, your profits, your children. وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give good news to those who are patient during these moments of difficulty. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. These are people that whenever any type of hardship, whether it's a loss of wealth, a loss of a position, a loss of, for example, health, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا. Their first realization is what? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. We are of Allah, we belong to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And to him we shall certainly return. The next verse says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Upon these people is the salawat of Allah and the rahmah of Allah. Yeah? The second way of responding to trial and tribulation in life is to have sabr, to be patient. The third way of responding to trial and tribulation is to have rida, to be pleased with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be pleased with everything that God has decreed with you. You know, sometimes in life, when something happens in our lives, we don't complain, we don't protest, we pray, we fast, we stay away from those things which are haram. But deep in the bottom of our hearts, there's just a little bit of bitterness. Oh God, why did it have to happen this way? Couldn't it have happened another way? Oh God, why did you choose me for this? Couldn't you have chosen somebody else for it? I think it might have been better if I got this job and not that job. And sometimes it shows itself in the intensity of our dua. It's no longer as intense. In the joy for prayer, we don't look forward to the prayer. In giving to the community, somewhere in the bottom of our hearts it says, what's the point if my life is not going to change? Right? We have sabr, but we don't have rida. We're not pleased with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Ashura, as the bodies were falling in front of him and members of his family were dying, Imam al-Hussein said a very beautiful line that should be remembered whenever we remember Ashura. He said what? He said, رِضًا بِقَضَائِكْ وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكْ. O God, not only am I patient at what is happening, I am pleased with what you have decreed. I would not have it any other way. وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكْ. And I am completely submissive to your command. And this is something that he learned from his father and his grandfather. In the Nahj al-Balagha, there's a very beautiful conversation that happens between Imam Ali alayhi afdalus salati was salam and one of his companions. And the companion tells me, oh Ali, tell me about the fitna, the difficulties and the trials that the people, the ummah is going to face after the Prophet of Allah. And the Imam says, indeed, one day I asked the Prophet of Allah about the same thing. And he said, yes, there are going to be trials and difficulties. It's a lengthy narration. Okay? And then I say to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulallah, you remember in the Battle of Uhud, when the people were becoming martyred and some of them were martyred, and I came to you in a very sorrowful state, and I say to Ya Rasulallah, I was not martyred today. Am I also going to be martyred? And O Prophet of Allah, remember you had promised me that I was also going to die the death of a shaheed? The Prophet said, yes. So the Imam started to ask him about it. Tell me the details of how I'm going to die. So before telling him, the Prophet of Allah asked him a question. Okay? You know, on the night of Ashura, when Qasim comes to Imam al-Hussein, and he asks, am I going to die tomorrow? And then the Imam asks him, how do you find death? Yes? So, when Imam Ali came to the Holy Prophet, the Prophet of Allah asked him the same question. The Prophet asked Imam Ali, Inna dhalika lakadhalik, it is exactly as I have told you. So, O Ali, kayfa sabruka idhan, how patient are you going to be at that time? Now, you know the answer of Qasim, but do you know the answer that Imam Ali gave to the Holy Prophet? No. Okay. We should be so proud that we have such role models. Sometimes it surprises me that in this day and age, we would go online and follow celebrities and performers and some of these famous people. So we would read their ahadith, their tweets. We would share them. We would like them. We would emulate them. We would try to be like them. You tell me how many of them have ever shared a thought that I'm going to share with you right now. Look at the standard that the Ahlul Bayt have set for us, and look at the standard that they set for us. Yeah. The Imam says to the Holy Prophet, he says, Ya Rasulullah, inna hadha laysa min mawatin al-sabr. O Prophet of Allah, this is not something that requires sabr. Inna hadha min mawatin al-bushra wa shukr. This is something that is of a good news, and this requires a shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means to be radi with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? One of the names of Lady Fatima is that she is ar-radiyah, right? One who was always pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the signs that somebody is pleased with Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also pleased with that person. And therefore the second title of Lady Fatima is that she was ar-radiyah, and she is also al-mardiyah, the one with whom God is pleased. And then some of our scholars say that in fact her status is even greater than that. Because not only is God pleased with her, but God is also pleased with everyone with whom she is pleased with. Yes? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِي رِضَاهَا وَيَغْضِبُ لِي غَضَبِهَا. God is pleased with everyone with whom she is pleased with, and God is angered by everyone with whom she is angry with. Now tonight and tomorrow night, in the time that's there, we'd like to look at the concept of rida. And what does it mean for a Muslim to be radi, to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how do we develop the sense of rida in our hearts? Because the status of rida, the daraja of rida, is a very high status. In one hadith, the fourth Imam says that zuhud, detachment from the world, has 10 stages. The highest level of zuhud is the lowest level of wara, okay, of piety, of God consciousness. And the highest level of wara is the lowest level of yaqeen, of certainty. And the highest level of yaqeen is rida, being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we go about developing that in our lives? And what does it mean to be pleased? Because we can have a right understanding of being pleased with Allah and a wrong understanding of being pleased with Allah. Sometimes when we think of the concept of rida, what comes to mind is inactivity, passivity, a lack of ambition, a lack of aspiration in life, to be pleased with the conditions that have been imposed upon you. A person who is radi is somebody who doesn't like to change the conditions around him. He is pleased with whatever condition he is in. Is that the meaning of rida? So for example, if a young man has an assessment or a test coming up, he doesn't study for it, he fails the assessment, and then he says, I am radi with everything that Allah has decreed for me. Is that rida? Or for example, if a proposal were to come, and sometimes we get excited, and we don't do the required investigation, and later it turns out that these two were not compatible with each other, then we say to the girl that this is your nasib. And you have to be radhi with everything that God has chosen for you. Is that rida? If a businessman does not strategize and he makes a loss, he says, this was my taqdeer, and I am pleased with everything that God has chosen for me. So our scholars say that rida has two meanings. The first one, ar-rida bi-amrillah, and the second one, ar-rida bi-rida-illah, and the second one is ar-rida bi-qada-illah. The first one is to be pleased with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one is to be pleased with everything that Allah has destined for you in your life. Tonight, we look at the first one. Tomorrow night, we look at the second one. Fi sayyidi salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So to be pleased with the command of Allah, it means that you are pleased with everything that God has commanded you to do. Every law of God. You are pleased with everything that God has asked you to do. And you wouldn't have it any other way. So I pray, and I'm pleased that God has ordained 5 daily prayers upon me, and I'm pleased that I have to say that prayer every day of my life. And I have no grudge in my heart. In the month of Ramadan, I fast, and I'm pleased that God has made fasting wajib upon me, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I observe my hijab, and I'm pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made hijab wajib upon me, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Please recite another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In the Quran, this is known as a sign of Iman. It's a sign that you have a special relationship with God. It's a sign that finally your heart is trusting God. So Allah says in the Quran, Fala wa rabbik, O Prophet, never, by your God, never. La yu'minuna, they will not have faith. They cannot claim they have faith. Faith has not been established in their hearts until what happens? Hatta, until يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, they make you, O Prophet, the judge of the conflicts that happen between them. They trust that you are going to make the best decision for them. You are going to make the right decision for them. And when you've made that decision, then at that time, لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ, when they look into their hearts, they do not find even a little bit of a grudge, a little bit of unhappiness, a little bit of displeasure with what you have commanded them to do. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit to you completely. That's how a mu'min is supposed to be. In every decision of his life, the first question that he asks of himself, is this pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to put our trust in God. We have to trust that God is controlling our lives, and we have to trust that He makes the decisions which are best for us, and that I can't make a decision that is better for me than the one that He has made for me. The issue of rida is the issue of trusting God. And how much do I trust God? Do I truly believe in my heart that as long as I keep my end of the bargain, God will always keep His end of the bargain? Okay? So we need to start thinking along these lines. Let me share some examples with you. So for example, when it comes to buying a house, what are some of the things that we think about when it comes to buying a house. Because, you know, there are certain decisions in life which are easy, and there are certain decisions in life which are difficult. Some decisions have short-term consequences, and some decisions have long-term consequences. And we realize that certain decisions have a small cost associated to it. I can swallow that. And there are certain decisions which have a very big cost associated to it, very hard to swallow. In those long-term decisions, do we make God a part of that decision or not? For example, when it comes to buying a house, what are some things that we think about? We think about square footage. Yes? We think about what rooms and what amenities are in the house. Yes? We think about the view from that house. Yes? Question. Do we also think about how far it's from the masjid? How far from the Muslim community? If I have children, how far is it from the school, the Muslim school? Yeah. When I have to make that decision, do I ask myself, is this pleasing to me or is this pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I have a decision to make and there are two choices and I realize that this is more pleasing to God and this is more pleasing to me. Am I pleased with what God is pleased for me? So believe me, my brothers and sisters, when you think like that in life, and you ask yourself, what is pleasing unto God? And you come to realize that this decision is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you take that decision, that is the best form of istikhara. Istikhara, one way is to open the Quran. But when we're talking about making a decision for the sake of God, anytime you realize that God wants something from you and you do that, that's the best way of seeking goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Another example, when it comes to a career, we have a checklist as we go about choosing our career. We look at the dollar figure. Yes?
Yes.
We look at the fame, the influence that comes with being in that career. How much am I going to grow in that career? Yes?
Yes.
We also look at our passion. Okay. Is this a part of my passion? Okay. Because nowadays we're told that you should follow your passions. Yes? You have to wonder to yourself that following your passion, you know, what role does that have in Islam? And is that in line with the teachings of Islam? Or do we ask ourselves, what does my community need? And what does my society need? And what is my duty to my community? And what is my duty to my society? And what is going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When it comes to marriage, and a proposal comes, is it about me? Or is it about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I think to myself, is this convenient to me? Has this come at the right time? Or maybe it's better we do it later? Is this the person of my dreams? The one that I dreamed about always in my life? Right? Or do I ask myself, what is going to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if this young man has come, and he has iman, and he has akhlaq, and yes, maybe he's not earning as much as I wanted them to earn, but he's a hardworking man. And maybe he doesn't dress as well as I wanted him to dress, but he dresses decently. Then do I ask myself, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do? And am I pleased with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, one of the mistakes that we sometimes make is we assume that these decisions are going to be easy to make, that we're going to get a lot of joy in making this decision, that you'll feel good about making the decision. That when I have to make these difficult decisions where I want something and I realized God wants something else, and if I do what God wants me to do, it's going to give me joy in life. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that actually it's going to be very bitter. it's going to be very sour. It's going to be very difficult. You know why it's going to be difficult? Because sometimes you have to step on your ego. You have to step on your desires. You have to put away your ambitions and your dreams and your aspirations and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to wrestle with yourself. And it's even more difficult than wrestling a person in real life. You have to detach yourself from those things that you're so attached to. It's not easy to detach yourself. You know, we're told at the moment of death, it's going to be very difficult, isn't it? You know why it's difficult? It's not difficult because the angel of death wants to make it difficult. It's difficult because as the angel of death is pulling life out of our body, we're clinging to this world and we don't want to let go. That same pain that's there is the same pain that you're going to face when you have to make these decisions. Right? But there is one thing, and this is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you obey Him, He makes you taste the sweetness of obedience. After you obey Him, He makes you taste the sweetness of obedience. And that is how you build trust in God. Every time you do something, you have to put yourself in the hands of God. And you have to let go. We're never going to find tranquility in life as long as we try to control things in our lives. You will always find tranquility in life when you give it into the hands of Allah. Let go. Trust Him. Trust Him that He's going to take care of you. Trust Him that He's paying attention to you. Trust Him that He's got a wisdom for what He has chosen for you. Let go. When we let go and we start doing those things that God wants us to do, He starts habituating us to His sweetness. You do one thing for Him and He responds with sweetness. And you do another thing for Him and He responds with more sweetness and love and affection until you become addicted to it. I'm going to share with you an example that the late Shaheed Murtada Mutahhari, he shares. He talks about a hadith from the Holy Prophet. In this hadith, the part of the Prophet of Allah, Hadrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The Prophet says, أَشْجَعُ النَّاسْ مَنْ غَلَبَ عَلَى هَوَاهُ. The most courageous of people is that person who's able to conquer and dominate his own desires. Put his foot on it. The late Shaheed Mutahhari then narrates a story. He says that in Iran, there used to be a wrestler. He was an undefeated wrestler. And everywhere he went, he was victorious. Shaheed Mutahhari narrates that this wrestler, Puryoy Vali, once traveled to India. He came to a village or a town where he was supposed to wrestle with the wrestler of that town. The day before he enters the town, and he comes across an old lady. And the old lady is giving out halwa, and she's asking people to make dua for her. So he asks her, young lady or old lady, why are you giving out halwa and what dua do you want me to make for you? Not recognizing him, she says to him that this wrestler is supposed to come into town and he's supposed to wrestle my son. But as a family, we need my son to win. Because if he wins, then we will survive the winter. And if he loses, we're not going to survive the winter. It's an issue of life and death for us. That night, this wrestler, he wrestles with himself. It's very difficult. Your image is on the line. Your reputation is on the line. You're undefeated. But on the other hand, there is this lady whose family's life depends upon that person winning. The next day he goes in the ring. He wrestles. And he says, in the middle of the match, I threw the game. I threw the match. And I purposely lost. Okay. So he says he purposely lost, but then he says, the moment this person pinned me on the ground and I had lost the match, at that moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my eyes to the malakut of the heavens and the earth, and it was as if I could see Jannah with my own eyes. Then Shaheed Mutahhari says, Ashja'un Nas, the most courageous of people are the one who can dominate their desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will habituate you to it as long as you're able to put your trust in Him, and as long as you're willing to be pleased with every command that He has given to you, and you have absolutely no grudge in your heart as to why has God asked me to do this. That is called Ar-Ridha bi Ridha'illah. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'd like to look at Ar-Ridha bi Qada'illah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We take our hearts to the city of Medina. Every city that you can imagine, even if you think about Damascus, I'm sure there's somebody there near the Haram of Lady Zainab, except the city of Medina. In the darkness of the night, nobody is there. Nobody is there near the Haram of our Imams, near the graves of our Imams. The grave of our Bibi is not known. Where is it? Is it near the grave of the Prophet? Is it near the grave of our Imams? So imagine yourself tonight in the city of Medina, somewhere between the shrine of the Prophet and the grave of our Imams. And let's do tawassul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Lady Fatima. Ya Fatima tu Zahra, ya bint Muhammad, ayyatuha al-batul, ya qurrata ayn al-rasul. يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفع. One more time. يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي. The Prophet of Allah used to love Lady Fatima. And he said, فاطمة بضعة مني. Fatima is a part of me. Man آذَاهَا فَقَدْ آذَانِي. Whoever hurts her, he has hurt me. Whenever Lady Fatima would go through hardship in life, it was difficult for the Prophet of Allah. But he was pleased with the command of Allah. The narrator says, one day the Prophet of Allah entered in the house of Fatima, and she was sitting on a very simple carpet, a very simple piece of skin, and she was grinding the wheat and giving milk to her son. In one hand was her son, in the other hand she is working. When the Prophet of Allah saw her state like that, فَدَمَعَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Tears started to flow from the eyes of the Holy Prophet, and he said, يَا بِنْتَا, O my dear daughter, تعجلي مرارة الدنيا بحلاوة الآخرة. Accept the sweetness of the hereafter through the bitterness of this world by accepting the bitterness of this world. And Lady Fatima took that to heart, and she always practiced that in her life. After the Prophet of Allah passed away, Lady Fatima became the first defender of wilaya. She was an advocate for justice. She was an advocate for the truth. When the Prophet of Allah passed away, the first person to lead a protest in the city of Medina from her home to the Masjid of the Holy Prophet was Lady Fatima.
She would take Hassan and Hussein in her hands, and she would go knocking at the doors of the Ansar, and she would remind them, "Do you not remember what my father said about Ali? Did he not say, 'Man kuntu mawla, fahadha aliyun mawla'?" From door to door she would go, defending the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, advocating for it as well. That was Lady Fatima. She would cry, remembering the Prophet of Allah. She was crying to wake up the conscience of the believers. She would cry so much that the believers, some of them, or the people of Medina, came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and they said, "Oh Ali, tell Fatima, either she cries during the day or she cries during the night, but we cannot withstand, hear her cry." They could not withstand their own guilty conscience. Lady Fatima was reminding them of that. And finally they said, "Oh Ali, find a place for her where she can cry." So he built Baytul Ahzan, and Lady Fatima would take Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein and her children, and she would go to Baytul Ahzan, and there she would remember Rasulullah, and there she would remind the Ummah, "What have you done to the wasiyah of Rasulullah? Ya Rasulullah." One day you saw Lady Fatima sitting on the ground and tears were flowing from your eyes. "Ya Rasulullah, what if you were there on that day when Bibi was between the door and the wall?" The narrator says, "That wall had a nail in it. When they pushed that door, the nail went into Lady Fatima. Muhsin, who was in the womb of Fatima, passed away, and Lady Fatima fell to the ground unconscious." Imagine that moment. Hassan and Hussein are in the house. On one hand they see their mother Fatima has fallen to the ground. On the other hand they see their father Ali is being dragged out of the home. Should they go towards the mother or should they go towards the father? The narrator says, when Fatima woke up and got consciousness, she called upon Fidda and she said, "Oh Fidda, Aina Abu al-Hasan?" She did not ask about herself. She did not ask about her injury. Her first question was, "Where is the Wali of the time? Where is the Imam of the time?" And when she heard that Imam was taken to the court, immediately she came out of her house and she went to the court and she said, "Khallu sabila," leave him and let him return to the house. But I will say, oh Bibi, even the children, they learn from you. I'm sure Zainab alayhi salam, when she saw that scene, she remembered it, because on the night of Shami Ghariba, when they came with the fire towards the tent of Imam Sajjad, the narrator says, Shimra ibn Dhil Jawshan entered in the tent of Imam Sajjad, and he was carrying the sword with which he had slaughtered Imam al-Hussein, and he said, "I'm going to kill this man as well." At that time, Lady Zainab came in between, the way Fatima had come in between the enemies and Ali, and she said, "If you want to kill Ali ibn al-Hussein, then first you will have to." وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Oh Allah, we pray to you for the sake of Lady Fatima. Oh Allah, we pray to you for the sake of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. Oh Allah, accept our aza and our tears for Lady Fatima. O Allah, make us pleased with everything that you have decreed in our lives. O Allah, we pray to you to allow us to taste the sweetness of your obedience. O Allah, we pray to you to accept all of our good deeds and forgive our sins. O Allah, we pray to you to answer our hajat. O Allah, we pray to you for those who are sick. those who are in the hospital, those who are undergoing therapy. Ya Allah, we pray to you to give them strength and to grant them a complete and a quick recovery. O Allah, we pray to you for our marhumin. Shower them with your rahmah and your maghfirah. O Allah, we pray to you for those who are suffering around the world, especially the ulama of Islam, Shaykh Ibrahim Zakzaki, Shaykh Isa Qasim, Shaykh Hussein Al-Radi. Ya Allah, we pray to you for those who are at the frontiers. O Allah, we pray to you to return them safely back to their communities. O Allah, we pray to you to return peace and justice back to their lives. O Allah, we pray to you to hasten the reappearance of the 12th Imam. O Allah, we pray to you to keep us with the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.